Pastor Devlin had many jokes that he wanted to tell you during that blackout, none of which were deemed appropriate to tell in church. I'm thankful for that time of blackout. I'm not sure what you saw or didn't see, but I'm grateful for the glitch, because it underscores how seamlessly the ministry of the church has been led by Pastor Nate and our staff through this very, very difficult time. Because the live streaming of the worship service has gone so smoothly, we take it all for granted. And we shouldn't. It's been a wonderful ministry before COVID-19, to many of you who tuned in each week or are not able to come and join us for worship here in the sanctuary. But then for the rest of us, it has been a wonderful way for us to connect with the Lord and with one another as together we gather before our computer and our television screens. So on behalf of the entire congregation, I want to give thanks to God for our church staff, for all the work that they have been doing, not only in order to produce this worship service on Sunday mornings, but continue to keep in touch with our congregation and to make the kinds of preparations that are necessary for us to regather sometime soon. I live in the western part of the state of Pennsylvania. In fact, I live 3 miles away from West Virginia, and I live 6 miles away from Ohio. And so there are three states, each led by three different governors, each of whom are giving different directions on how to live through this difficulty. So all this amalgamation of guidance and direction from local and state and federal authorities that our staff needs to deal with in terms of knowing how to move forward in our worship and service life of the congregation. It's very, very complicated. And we should be thankful to God that this group of folks have been brought to the kingdom for such times as this. And on behalf of Nate and the rest of you on the staff who are here this morning, on behalf of the congregation, we want to thank you for the leadership that you are bringing to us each and every day. We're continuing in this series entitled A Living Hope. And the text that Nate has asked me to speak on this morning is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. I'm reading from the English Standard Version this morning. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. Now let us pray. We thank you, O God, that we have indeed been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you, O Lord, for this balm to our spirits and our encouragement as we move day by day through the difficulties of everyday life, and particularly these new difficulties we have been experiencing as individuals, families, as a church, as a nation. But we thank you, Lord, that the hope that we have in Christ is all-encompassing in our lives. And we pray this morning that you will speak to us of this hope in which we live that can be observed by a world that is seeking hope. Teach us how, Lord, that we must indeed live a life of hope that may be observed by others, that in observing it, you might call those unbelievers to yourself to enjoy the hope that we have, not only the hope for the future, but the hope for today. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. As an Anglophile, I am an individual who enjoys watching television programs produced by the BBC. And I think, too, because I'm living in a more rural area now, I've put those two realities together, and I have become a real follower of a BBC television program called This Farming Life. It's a show that follows six farming families and the lives that they live, living in Scotland and in Northern Ireland. Cattle farmers and sheep farmers, how difficult it is to make a living. It's a reality show, but not like any reality show that you have seen in American TV. It's a real reality show. It shows the reality of reality. I enjoy it very much. But the part I like the best is during the opening credits of each episode. They focus in on Michael Irvin, who is a cattle farmer. He raises Charolais cattle. They focus on him, and he looks into the camera and says, "Farming, it's not a job. It's a way of life." And so it is. I've been thinking about that phrase that I, much to my wife's consternation, repeated every time it comes on. Farming, it's not a job. It's a way of life. As I've been thinking about this past week, our text before us, and the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, I've been thinking about how over the years I have defined hope for our congregation, a confident sense of peace and well-being in the present, in the face of difficulty, based upon what Christ has done in the past, securing our future with him. I believe that that is a biblical understanding of what hope is, but it is not complete. Because what our text suggests to us this morning is that hope is not a tool that's employed by Christians to get through a crisis while we wait for things to get better. It is not a mood elevator. It is not a spiritual elixir to help weather the rough times. Hope is life lived in the light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Since Christ has conquered sin on the cross, has conquered death at the tomb, life can never be the same. And so I suggest to you, in the tone of Michael Irvin, hope is a way of life. This is what our text teaches us this morning. Hope is the way followers of Christ live our lives every day. COVID or no COVID, virus or no virus, scary diagnosis, financial setback, family crisis, struggling relationship, or none of the above, our hope is a living hope. A hope that is lived out in the warp and woof of life, both good and bad. Hope is a way of life which is declared to others when they see it in us. How will the world that doesn't know Christ, how will they have hope? They will be introduced to that hope as they see us living a life of hope. As we come to him, the text says, a living stone rejected by men in the sight of God and chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I want to suggest to you this morning as we look at the text that there are three observable facets of the believer's living hope. First of all, the believer is a part of something much bigger than oneself. Second of all, the believer possesses a high calling. And thirdly, the believer is a person with a purpose. Observable facet number one, the believer is part of something much bigger than oneself. Peter writes, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. Our life of hope is corporate in nature. The Bible doesn't understand faith that is just mine between me and the Lord. There is that aspect to it. But when we come to Christ, we come not only to him, but to the family of believers who also know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, then we become something much bigger than ourselves. That's one of the aspects of our hope in Christ. It's me, it's the Lord, and it's my brothers and sisters in Christ. Corporately, then, we are a dwelling of God. Our lives that we live together is founded on Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, who gives us shape, strength, purpose. This facet of our hope that is larger than ourselves and is incorporate in nature. We come together and we worship. We share devotion to the Lord and to one another. We experience joy. We proclaim truth. It's a place where God's glory is the singular purpose, regardless of what is happening in our lives personally. Whatever else is happening in the world, whatever is happening in our corporate body, our singular purpose is the answer to the question, how can I bring greater glory to God? And this gathering together is a place from which we go out in ministry. Our life of hope is that we are a communion of individuals whose lives have been transformed by Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, who live joyously in and for the praise of God and for the advancement of his kingdom. And this, friends, is a hope that can be seen by others. It's a head scratcher for many of them. They wonder what it's all about. But it's us living out our hope together with a sense of God's presence among us, our lives shaped, formed, given purpose, and empowered by the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, where our singular purpose is to bring honor and glory to God, regardless of what's happening around us, good, bad, or indifferent. This is our hope. It's a living hope. It pervades everything that we do each and every day, and this is a hope that is observable. It is a hope that can be seen and a powerful testimony to people in our world who are saying, is there any hope for me? The second observable facet is that the believer possesses a high calling. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. This is our calling. And as people see us living the hope that we have in Christ, they must see in us as believer priests. A believer priest is the Christian who, according to the Scottish exegete and theologian John Brown, has said this, the Christian who is solemnly consecrated to and habitually engaged in divine service. I'm in touch with our church staff and with members of our church leadership team, our session, to know that they are individuals who are solemnly consecrated to and habitually engaged in divine service. But it's not just the pastoral staff. It's just not our elders and our deacons. It is each one of us. That is part of our living hope, that we are solemnly consecrated to and habitually engaged in divine service. What is that role that we have? That role that we have as priests? Well, a priest is always in the service of God. But the other aspect of the priesthood is that the priesthood serves as an intermediary between individuals and God. And that's the role that we play as those who are observably demonstrating our hope in Christ. Particularly in times of crisis, the believer priest with a living hope stands as an intermediary between God and the unbelieving world. And we point that unbelieving world, point the hopeless, point the fearful, point the foundering to the one true source of life and meaning and hope, Jesus Christ. As intermediary believer priests with this high calling, we take the hand of the unbeliever who is fearful, who is worried. And we reach up to God and we seek in what we do and in what we say to point that unbeliever to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is hope that can be seen. Are we living out this hope by in what we do and in how we do it, in what we say and in how we say it? Are we pointing hopeless individuals to the one in whom alone there is hope, even Jesus Christ? When we're doing that, our hope is indeed observable. And finally, observable facet number three is that the believer is a person with purpose. Peter writes, you yourselves are being built up to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, there are many commentators who take upon themselves to give long lists of what those spiritual sacrifices might be. I've spent a good part of this past week reading what those things are. There's a lot of overlap. And I think that all of those things are important things for us to keep in mind as we think about how is it that I will offer spiritual sacrifices to God. But I want to suggest to you that if Jesus Christ is the Lord of our lives, then all of life is sacred. And all behavior that flows from our transformed lives is an offering up to God. Will people see the hope in which we live by how we behave, not only in response to the difficulties that our world is experiencing, but in all of life? Will people see the hope that we have in Christ when we respond to the good things that happen to us? What are the spiritual sacrifices that demonstrate the living hope that we have? I suggest to you it's how we figure out how we can keep the two great commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. One of the things that we must always do is contextualize those two great commandments. So in the light of social distancing, in the light of being separated from members of our congregation, in the light of financial difficulties, in the light of fear, in the light of so many contradictory suggestions and orders about what we can and cannot do, what we must and must not do, it behooves us as followers of Jesus Christ and as those who have a living hope to simply ask the question, how can I love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength at this moment? And how can I love my neighbor as myself? When we ask and answer those questions, the hope that we have in Christ will be a living hope that is observable on the part of people who have no hope. Well, finally, this begs the question then, how do we become people of hope with a life much bigger than ourselves, a high calling and a divine purpose? The answer is in the text. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men in the sight of God, chosen and precious. We come to Christ. And we keep on coming. The sense of the language there is that not that we came to Christ once and then we got hope as a possession and we walk away. But we continually come to Christ day by day, moment by moment, receiving anew the grace and the goodness of God through Jesus Christ, seeking his direction and his help in living out this hope each and every day. In good times and in bad, in times of worry and despair, when the world seems to be spinning out of control and people are filled with fear, and when things are going well, God's call upon our lives is to be the church. You say, that sounds so simple. On the one hand, it is. On the other hand, it takes a lot of thought. It takes a lot of prayer. It takes a lot of wisdom. Because hope is just not a pill that we take when we're worried. Hope is a way of life. Each and every day. Recognizing that we have a high calling. Recognizing that we are given things to do in praise to God and in service to others. And recognizing the wonder that we're not in this by ourselves, but we are together with brothers and sisters in Christ who love us, whom we love, and with whom we will spend eternity as the sure and certain hope to which we have been born through Christ. So now let us pray. We thank you, O Lord, for this sure and certain hope, which is also a living hope. Teach us, we pray, how we might demonstrate an observable, living, daily hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. As individuals who have been called to live out our lives in Christ together with those of like mind and heart, as those who have been given special tasks to do and a special calling. Lord, that you might use us each and every day in times that are good and times that are challenging to point the world to the one true source of hope, who's yourself and your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.